Good evening. Aaron was absolutely right when he said that we weren't looking forward to doing this. I wasn't anyway. Maybe Jake was, but I wasn't. But anyhow, but I did agree to do it, and as I thought about doing it, I thought about words that have been running through my mind lately. The words of loss, words of suffering, words of forgiveness, adversity, affliction. Those are words that have been running through my mind the last few weeks. And so when Aaron called and said, would you share, those words were still in my mind. And then this morning William preached about, and I don't think he used this verse, but he started his sermon this morning talking about children. And the verse that came to my mind was, train up a child when he is young, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And tonight in devotions, Matt talked about temptation, and Gilbert and Danielle just talked about kindness. And it's kind of ironic because what I'm going to share has all three of those things in there. So you guys have heard the story, I'm sure, of my grandpa accepting Jesus as his Savior at 35 years old. My dad has told that story. You also heard my dad's story. And so when I was born, my dad, mom, had settled in a church in Wisconsin, and I'm going to share tonight about the first 20 years of my life, and I'm going to share this tonight to be geared toward the youth. The rest of you can listen in, but I'm hoping that maybe you youth can communicate some with what I'm going to share, but I don't think you necessarily have shared the same experiences, but maybe you can share and recognize some of the things that you're dealing with, maybe that you can see maybe better that God has a plan for you. It says in Psalm 78, the last verse of Psalm 78, and if you ever read that psalm, you should sometime, it's about how the Israelites loved the Lord, but then they fell away, but then loved and fell away, and how God still took care of them. But the last verse of Psalm 78 says, so he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And I feel that way about God in my life. I can truly communicate with the Israelites. I remember as a child, in when we had Bible story, we would read about the Israelites, and I got so frustrated with them because we'd read about how that God took care of them, brought them into the land of Egypt when they had famine, and then after they were in Egypt, he brought them back out, took them through the wilderness, all this stuff, and yet they kept rejecting God. And as a young child, I thought, why were they so stupid? That's just ridiculous. But I have to tell you, at 44 years old, I can communicate with the Israelites very, very well. I find myself in those same shoes over the course of my life. So anyhow, I want you to hear the last part of that verse, that God fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. I feel that way about my life. So anyhow, growing up, I'm going to start out young. I was on a farm. Wisconsin's the coldest place. Well, it's not true. International Falls, Minnesota. We lived about 3.5 hours from there. International Falls, Minnesota is the coldest place in the lower 48. And so we grew up on a farm, and it was cold in the winter, hot in the summer, and the dairy farming in Wisconsin wasn't an easy life. It was hard work. And I'm actually thankful for the hard work I had to do as a child, because there was a lot of sometimes hurt and anger in my life, and I used work to get through some of that. Some of you guys go hunting when you're upset about something, and you just go out in the woods and bury yourself out there. I worked, and so there's different ways to cope with all that. So anyhow, 6 years old, seven, I'm not sure, out behind the barn, standing on the edge of a hayfield, the sun was setting. Beautiful day, summer day. And I remember looking out across that field at the sun, and I don't know what my mom and dad had done, but William talked this morning about training up a child, and I thought about this. I remember sitting there thinking, I am going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my life. And later, not sure how much later, a couple years, I woke up one night, my brother Eric wasn't in the same, we stayed in the same room, went downstairs, and him, my uncle and aunt were there. My mom and dad were gone on a trip, and Eric had called them because he wanted to accept the Lord as his Savior. And that's the first public confession that I made, because I told them. I said, if Eric's going to do it, I'm going to too. And so I accepted Jesus as my Savior publicly that night. But I really look back to that experience out on the edge of the field, committing my heart to the Lord as my first conversion. But publicly with my aunt and uncle, maybe 9 years old. So not sure about that. Bible story time was a huge thing to me growing up. You know, on a farm, we get up at 5:36 in the morning. We went out to the barn. We worked till 7:38 in the morning. Went in, showered, had breakfast, had a real short devotional. Went to school, got home at 3, had a half-hour break. And then we were expected to be out doing the chores again. And we usually got done with chores between 6:30 and 7. And then we either came in and got ready to go to church for Sunday night or Wednesday night, or we often sit around on long winter nights as a family, reading or talking or just simply playing games, a lot of those kind of things. But not a lot outside in the winter. It was so cold. But Bible story time was a huge thing to me in my growing up, those young years, before age 12. Stories resonated. We started in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, and we started to read through the Old Testament. I don't know how far we got, I don't remember, but I just remember being entranced with the stories and reading them and enjoying them. We'd only read a short part every day, but I look forward to it the next day. So Bible story time to me was huge. And I want you guys to remember this as I go on to some of the stuff that in the teenage years. And I'm saying some of the stuff that even my wife doesn't know. Or my parents. But I'm saying it for the sake of you youth. I want you to listen because I know each of you youth struggle with some of these same kind of things. So at age 12, church split. And when the church split, I lost all my classmates in school. And it made me angry. Could you guys pray that I wouldn't cry? I just want to tell a story. Anyhow, after the church split, about a year later, our family suffered some personal trauma. And I had a lot of anger in my life, tremendous anger. There was a time I wouldn't talk to my dad for 3 weeks and went to live with my... You guys aren't praying hard enough. I don't want to cry. I went to live with my brother-in-law and sister for a few weeks, and that helped. And my dad, in his wisdom, took me out to the barn one night, said, Norv, we're not going to go into the house until you talk to me. And I said, Dad, I don't want to talk to you. He said, well, you're going to. He said, you can say whatever you want to me, but you're going to talk to me. So we were out there for 4 hours. I think it was 3 or 4 hours before I finally talked to my dad. But it was a beautiful time. And I want to tell you, my parents were wise as when I was young because they taught me so much in those years prior to it. And at age 15, because of the church split, a lot of the kids weren't allowed to associate with our church. And my mom, in her wisdom, there was another fraction of that whole church split that had completely left the Anabaptist culture that we were taught in. And I tended to want to lean that direction because I didn't like being ostracized from the side of the church. It went the direction, and they were ultra-conservative, and we were looked upon as evil. And so the people that I wanted to be friends with were, they had completely left the Anabaptist culture. And so I was supposed to go to a public school to get driver's training, and my mom recognized, and I don't know to this day why she never talked to me about it. I wasn't given a choice on this, but she called three of her friends, and they made a commitment to drive 60 miles away to go to a public school there where we could take driver's training, because she didn't want me to go to public school with this guy that I used to go to school with that was actually associating with a lot of people and girls from outside of that weren't Christians. So we drove 60 miles to do driver's training, and I'm glad of that. I think that was a good decision that my parents made. But while I was at driver's training as a 15-year-old, I faced some stuff that my parents don't know. But there was some stuff that happened in that class. I almost got in a fight once, but it was over a stupid thing. But I sat beside a girl, and back this was in the 80s, and in the 80s, everyone wore mini skirts. But I sat beside a girl in class, and there was a couple boys discussing her, and I was this little Mennonite kid, and that really made me mad at him. And so I said, stop that. And they said, you want to make something of it? And so I almost got in a fight over that, but I could talk myself out of that one. Anyhow, that was a little bit of a we talked about temptation tonight, Matt did, temptations. 15 years old, coming from some of the issues that worked through, that had to work through in our lives, and then being faced with some of those kind of temptations. And I guarantee you, young people, a lot of your parents face those same temptations that they haven't maybe told you about either. So you're not alone in all of this. But at 16, a couple different things happened. We had quit farming. My father had rented out our farm to another family from in the community. And this is not stuff I like to talk about, but I know you guys face this stuff. There was a couple girls that were daughters of this guy, and those girls had interest in having more than a friendship. And I found this out because my cousin that was already going to public school, and he was not living a Christian life, he knew these girls personally, and so they were telling him, hey, you need to make something happen here. And so I made a decision, but it wasn't a good decision, but it was a decision that saved me. I made a decision to do nothing. And that decision, I just did nothing with it, left it go. But at 15, I think it was 15, it might have been 14, I'm not sure, the church where we were going, because I wasn't, and I was rebellious, I'll just have to say I was. I didn't honor the church rules, and so at communion time that year, one of those years, when we had communion in that church, the ministry usually sat in a room off somewhere else, and then the people would file through and say what their testimony was. But that particular evening, they said I couldn't take communion because I didn't fit into the, and I knew that that I was facing that when I went in there. And but I remember asking the ministry that night, I said, you know, I said, I can accept that. But I said, I want to ask you guys, I said, do you guys ever sin? And there was dead silence in the room. There was no answer. They just looked at me like I had asked a question that was terrible. And I made a decision right then that I didn't want to be a part of the Anabaptist culture anymore. I was done with it. So I left that room determined to be done with that, but I still wanted to be a Christian. And so at 16, a couple Sundays later, I wanted to go to Bible school at Maranatha. That's where everybody went that I knew, and I did want to go there. Even though I was convinced that I didn't want to be part of the Anabaptist culture, I wanted to go to Bible school. I did want to do that. And but, of course, there was no ministers to sign for me to go to Bible school. And I can remember where I was standing. My Uncle Dan Schrock had come down to Sheldon Church for a service one evening. And I was just getting ready to walk out the door, and he ran up to me and said, hey, he said, are you going to Bible school this year? I said, Dan, I can't. I said, nobody will sign for me. I can't go. I said, I'd love to go. He said, well, I'll sign for you. I said, Dan, you can't do that. I said, the ministry here won't, they're going to be upset with you about that. He said, I'll sign for you. And he was principal at the Bible school, so I guess he got away with that. I don't know how he got away with that, but he did. But I thank the Lord for that, because I can still remember where I was standing when he did that for me. And I went to Bible school that year, and it kind of did a lot of healing for me, because I learned. I got to be with a lot of youth again, and kind of an ironic twist. You guys maybe could see the humor in some of this. So that year at Bible school, there was a girl from Missouri that I'd met because my brother lived down there, that we were considered an item that year. But she kept talking about that year at Bible school about her bunkie. How her bunkie, she used words like this to describe her. She used words like loyal. She used words like trustworthy, fun. And that bunkie was Sharon, by the way. So anyhow, I learned to know Sharon that year in Bible school, too, a little bit better. But was not considering her to be my wife. But I did hear a lot of good words about her and that year in Bible school. And so after Bible school that year, I went back to Wisconsin, and I was working for a guy. We had moved from where we were at down to Wausau area, Wisconsin. And I was working with a crew of guys, and they were really rough. They weren't rough as far as, like, they knew how to work, but they were not living Christian lives. A large majority of them were not. And so I learned a lot of my innocence in my was stripped of some of that just from the things I was hearing from some of those. But I made a decision. One day we were sitting at a Hardee's in Wausau, Wisconsin. We were working on a roof, and we went to a Hardee's for lunch. And Brandy was the guy's name. He was a Wisconsin state wrestler, I think in 88, might have been 87. I don't remember which year for sure. But anyhow, he was a guy you could kind of admire if as far as strength and all of that. But his girlfriend and him were there at Hardee's, and I was eating with them because they were living together. But they weren't Christians, of course, but they were living together and not married. And Brandy was sitting across from me at the table there, and he said, Norv, he said, we're going to have a party, whatever night it was. He said, why don't you come? He said, there's a lot of girls that are going to be here, like Heather. He said, why don't you come? And I remember looking at him and thinking to myself, you know what? I may not want to be a Mennonite, but I don't want to do that either. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to do that. So I said, Brandy, I'm not going to come. Not going to do it. And he was okay with that. He just said, but was being friendly. In his mind, he was just being friendly. But I made a decision that day when I left there that I'm not going to work here anymore. And so I went home, told my parents, and said, I'm not going to work there anymore. I said, because I don't think that I can face what I'm facing there. And so my dad suggested that I call Dayton. And the reason was, Dayton was in the Fairplay Wilderness Boys Camp at the time. He was dating Judy. And so him and Dad had talked, I guess. I don't know. But Dayton suggested I come out west and work for Rudy out here. And so I was 17 years old at this time. And I left Wisconsin. I headed for Oregon. The reason I went to Oregon is that's where Rudy was working at the time. And I've never driven a trip that I hated so badly. I had no desire. Zero desire to go out west. I had no desire to come. I didn't know anybody. I had no desire to know. I didn't know anything about the west. I had zero desire. I was happy in Wisconsin at the time because I didn't know any different other than that I didn't want to work with that crew I was with. I didn't really know where I was going to go to church. But not knowing what was there for it, I didn't have any desire to go west at all. But I drove to Oregon and was there for a few weeks. Went back to Bible school because it was that time of the year then. And by the way, Sharon was at Bible school every year that I was there. And but we still weren't dating. But anyhow, after Bible school that year, one thing I forgot to mention, act of kindness. They talked about act of kindness up there. One of the acts of kindness that I had already felt in my life was when Dan Schrock had said, would you like to go to Bible school? That was a huge act of kindness in my life. And then when I got here to Idaho, and lived here a few months. Another act of kindness is that I lived in Rudy's shop. I know a lot of you don't know this probably, but in Rudy's shop there's a bedroom and a bathroom in the front of the shop, and I lived in that shop. And it was early in the spring that year I got here, after Bible school, and it was March. I don't know why it was so beautiful that year, but in March of that year, it was beautiful. I remember waking up early, and the sun came up terrible early, and I couldn't believe it. And I went outside, and it was beautiful. We actually poured Rudy's basement, and David can correct this if I'm wrong, but I think we poured Rudy's basement for his house in the 14th or 15th of March because it was so beautiful that year. I don't know if I'm correct on that, but that was a beautiful year. And that was, I think, God reaching down and being kind to me because it gave me a fresh perspective of where I was living. Another thing that happened then is John and Jean offered them after a month or two or three here, John and Jean offered that I could stay in their basement and live there. And after I was here a little bit longer, you guys know this part of the story, but I'm going to say it for the youth's sake. But this act of kindness that John did to me, I was here maybe 4 months, 5 months, I'm not sure. And John says, Norv, when are you going to join the church? Well, I had already made a decision, I thought, that I wasn't going to have anything to do with the Anabaptist culture. I was done with it because of where I'd come from. And but John said, why don't you join our church? I said, John, you don't want me. I'm not somebody you want in your church. And he said, yeah, we actually do. We need you. And a couple months later, he asked me that question again. And I said, you're serious? I said, yeah, he was serious. And so Sam Yoder was our bishop at the time. And Sam was here for communion later that year. And Sam, I told Sam, I said, Sam, is it possible that I can join the church out here? I said, I don't have a church letter. I don't have anything. And he was so kind to me. He said, you know, Norv, he said, I think we can do that. He said, we won't even bother to ask for a church letter from where you came from. We'll just go ahead and let you join. And that was an act of kindness to me. That was a healer for me. And so I had to reevaluate where I was at in my life because sometimes you have to decide, what do you want to do? What culture do you want to raise your children in? Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Well, I was starting to recognize that there was Christian people that loved Jesus deeply inside of the Anabaptist culture, and that really, really started to bless my soul. And I also started to recognize that if I wanted to live close to Jesus, probably the place that I was going to live closest to him was in a place, in a setting kind of like we have. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're all striving to live as close to God as possible. So I had to make that decision, which I did at that time. Another thing that was an act of kindness, on my 18th birthday, and I've been here now, I think, 6 months, and nobody knew me well enough yet to know when my birthday was. And so I woke up that day, and I wondered if anybody would know it was my birthday today. And so nobody said happy birthday, nothing happened. But I can tell you where I was standing when this happened. I got a card in the mail. And this is kind of an interesting thing to me. I think it was God leading, God's kindness again. But there was a card in the mail that said happy birthday on it. And it was from one person. And that was the only person that said happy birthday that day. But it was from my wife, Sharon. And we weren't even dating. I don't know why she sent me a birthday card. She still doesn't know why she did. But I needed it. And it was a beautiful act of kindness. And so I got a birthday card from my wife on my 18th birthday, long before I knew she was going to be my wife. And I found that ironic. So those years were tough years, really, really tough years. I went going through those years in Wisconsin with the church split, some family trauma, and then also being told that I was no longer part of the church. There was a lot of hurt and anger in my life. And, you know, when Sharon and I got married, I would like to tell you that the first few years were not easy for us, and it wasn't because of her. I had a lot of issues in my life, and I tell you what, it was after we were married maybe 10 years, we finally learned to do something, and that was this, is that when we would have a little argument or something, we'd look at each other and grin, and we'd say, you know, our marriage is really on the rocks, isn't it? And we learned to make a joke of that because we recognized that, you know, to get through this, we're going to have to just stick together and get through it. But for those of you young marrieds, if you are struggling in your marriage, which I don't doubt you are, because you're going to adjust to each other, try to get past the 10-year mark. If you can get past the 10-year mark, it gets better. Because all of a sudden, after 10 years, that commitment seems to finally... Maybe the devil realizes you're serious about your commitment or something. I don't know what it is. But get past 10 years. Don't even consider not getting past 10 years for sure. Because I think if you can make it past 10 years, you can probably make it 50 or 60 or 80 years. But get past those first 10 years. I want to tell you one other thing that I did do, because I don't want to leave. I did go back to the Shelton Mennonite Church after I lived here a couple years. And I went there on a Wednesday night, and I stood up there, and I asked them forgiveness for my rebellious ways, and they forgave me. And to this day, they're kind to me. So I don't want you guys to think that they were all bad and I was not good. But it was not a good situation for a lot of people in that area. But I have forgiven it. They have forgiven me. And I'm really glad for that. So I'm going to read one more verse. It's in Psalm 19, a couple of verses. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And I put myself in that word there. It says simple. Now listen to the verse again. You do what you want with it, but this is what I did. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." That's how I feel about my life, is that I was a pretty simple person. I don't mean simple as far as intelligence. I just mean simple as far as understanding, really, that God has a work in my life. "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." And I feel like God has been enlightening mine eyes for a lot of years, and I'm thankful for that. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." That's all I have to share tonight. I'll turn it back to Aaron.